We have spent the past four Sundays delving into the parable of parables, that story Jesus told about a father and his two sons. The story upset quite a number of people when Jesus first told it, and it, quite frankly, has gone on upsetting people through all the centuries ever since. People react negatively, I think, for a number of reasons. Some, and believe me, you've told me all the reasons over the years, some think it was wrong for the younger son to be given welcome and restoration. Some believe the father should have refused to allow the boy back onto the farm. Others say it would have been best for the father to take him on as a household slave and thereby serve both mercy and justice. That's what my Calvinist friends tell me most of the time. Either way, though, there are people who simply are not happy with what the father actually did. Then, of course, there are those who identify with the older son in some shape, form, or fashion and believe the father treated him most unfairly. Almost every firstborn in a congregation takes that view. And they ask, isn't the father practicing favoritism? Now, here's what we need to remember. Basically, both groups assume they know what's right, wrong, fair, and unfair. To put it plainly, both believe they know better than the father how the father should relate to his children. Did you get that? Both believe they know better than the father how the father should relate to his children. So let's be blunt. Each group wants to set the conditions for inclusion in the family. They want the father to endorse and back whatever their position happens to be. But to the consternation of all, especially to those offended by his actions, the father, in effect, responds to all the groups and says, no, you don't get to set the conditions. No, all my children are welcome here. All my children are welcome here, including those like my younger son and including those like my older son. Sometimes I imagine him kind of leaning back and looking at the folk who were coming at him with all of their complaints about his actions and saying, haven't you ever read Hosea? This is how God acts. I don't give up on my children. And sometimes in my imagination, I picture the father looking me in the eye and saying, well now, you see how I intend to run my home. You see how I intend to treat all my children. Now that you know what I'm going to do, I have a question for you. Do you want to live here? Do you want to live here? Do you want to be at home with the kind of God I am? And it's a good question. It's a fair question. It's a hard question, isn't it? Let's be honest. Do we want to find and make our home with the God who actually loves and welcomes all his children? Or is there somebody you think just ought to be kept out? Do we really want to make our home with the God who actually loves and welcomes all of his children with no exceptions? Do we want to make peace with God as God is and join the rest of the family not only for a one-night party, but in all the days which will follow? Do we want to be at home with God as God is? I hope so. Actually, I pray so on a fairly regular basis. And I pray so because it actually matters. C.S. Lewis has that famous citation that you've heard before in this congregation. Some of you have even quoted it to me on occasion. It goes something like this. In the end, we either say, thy will be done, or God says to us, thy will be done. What that means is this. God welcomes all of his children home, but God doesn't force a single one of them to come and stay there. Not a one. We can make our home with God by our choice, or we can exile ourselves from home by our choice. Will we choose to join all the family God has gathered and is gathering? Will we choose to make our home with God as God is? What I can promise is this. If you say yes and join the life of God's entire family, you'll find God already knows you better than you know yourself and loves you better than you've ever loved yourself. And you'll find that he knows you better than you've ever known yourself and loves you better than you've ever loved yourself, even though he knows all your strengths and weaknesses. If you say yes, you will find your true home now and forever. So later in the service, after we sing our way into the Lord's Supper, I hope that you'll take the supper as a kind of declaration, a way of saying to yourself and to God and to others, I want to be at home with God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.